Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. We're live at Oakdale Golf and Country Club here in the heart of Toronto. RBC Canadian Open, the Pro-Am happening today. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and James Duffy around the table, also known as a Pro-Am veteran.
Celebrity.
A celebrity. What kind of nonsense did you get up to today?
I just looked at the scoreboard on the way over here. Team Hayes, I think T24. Team Duffy, T9.
Wow.
Who did you get as a pro today?
It's my first top 10 of the year. We had Mac Hughes for the front nine, which was we played the back nine first, and Cam Champ for the other nine, and they were both awesome. Particularly Mac, obviously. Mm-hmm. He was just, couldn't have been better. I played with a bunch of Bell guys. All our kids were on the bags. They were just awesome. That's the one thing when you come to these things, there's so many, you know, there's so many nice guys.
Yeah.
And obviously the Canadian guys are good, but Mac was awesome. I think he was maybe 4 under on the side we played with him. And Cam's a really good guy too. And he had lots to say. Dillette had warned me, said, Cam, you're not going to get too many words out of him. He's like, quiet. But I got him going on the whole thing yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. We talked
about live golf and all
yeah.
this stuff?
Because he was one of the guys who was offered money. Obviously not one of the top-tiered guys. And I didn't get into amounts with him, but I figure he was probably offered $30 million or something like that to go. So he was not happy, but he was willing to wait and see.
Jimmy, wow. I have a theory, and we briefly discussed it last night via text. And I even confirmed with the high-profile golf agent today, and he said no. But I have to think that Monahan would have informed Tiger Woods and or Rory McIlroy before doing something like this, unless it's over Monahan's head and he's just along for the ride too. Because wouldn't you think the last thing that he would want would one or two or both of those guys to be pissed at him?
Well, Rory said, I believe today, that Jimmy Dunn, who's the guy who put this together, right, that he had left a phone message for him the night before saying, call me in the morning. And so Rory had about a two-hour heads up, but that's it. You would think Tiger would as well. Like, I'm sure there was a call put into Tiger. Tiger probably didn't take the call.
When you got all those guys in the room, and they're apparently all pissed off, and they're standing ovation asking for new leadership, and then Rory comes out and says, I have faith in Jay as the guy going forward.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just seems
probably
like
a side conversation.
I was going to say, couldn't you see someone from, like, the Saudis reaching out and saying, because we got to work together here.
Yeah.
Like, we want in on the Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy business, and whether you like it or not, this is coming, and I want to give you the heads up. Like, that's a backroom succession type call. Like, Tiger direct, hey, we're coming.
Yeah.
Monahan's going to sell you out. That's what I'd love to see. That's the kind of action I'm looking for.
It's too bad the Netflix guys were not in on any of this stuff.
Right.
That would be the greatest season of television ever.
It
ever.
Actually would.
They tried to sneak into the meeting yesterday, apparently, and they were in there for the first 30 seconds and then got kicked out.
Really?
So, but, it's fascinating talking to these guys. They are really, Mac's a really smart guy, and he's a member of the committee there, mm-hmm. which he's, I think, upset about as well. He told you guys yesterday. And their worlds have been turned upside down. But I think the realistic thing is, in 3 weeks, if Jay Monahan, irons out the details and they sit down in a meeting and he says the purses are going to be 4 times what they are right now, every event's $30 million or something,
yeah.
and you're going to be made whole in some way. And I think, it would to make all the top guys, the guys who are asked to go, even the Cameron Champs, sort of the second-tier guys who are asked to go, to make all those guys whole, to give them the money they could have had, probably $2 billion or something like that, those guys will write a check in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to take care of is Rory and Scheffler and Rahm and Spieth and Thomas, and then maybe throw a little bit at some of these other guys. And the Saudis will do that.
They have so much money. They're already spending money on all these soccer players, and a lot of them are way over the hill. Mm-hmm. They just want the names, and they want their foot in the door. And I'm curious if you feel like it's possible for them to infiltrate the big four sports over here. The
yes.
NFL, yeah, you believe that?
I think it will happen at some point. And again, it's slowly acceptance. I think golf has been different. Look, F1 and soccer, football, they don't talk about that much, frankly, more European-based, and I think it's kind of accepted, whereas America, the PGA is an American institution, and 9/11 is an American thing that happened to America, even though it happened to the world. So all this stuff, I think, goes a little harder in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But and I'm not saying this is a good thing, but unfortunately, I think over time they will get what they want is acceptance through this. And
well, if they're here, you may not have another choice.
Could you imagine,
right? You can't go on SportsCenter every night and say, "We also want to point out this, that, and the other." Mm-hmm. Like, it just at some point, it's just going to be baked in.
Yeah. When the light went off for me about the volume of money these guys have was in Qatar at the World Cup, where they built this subway system, which was the most beautiful subway I've ever been on, and they didn't build it for the future of the city. They built it to take people to the stadiums for 1 month.
Right.
For 1 month. I mean, some of the lines are still useful, but some of them I don't think really are, but they didn't care. The streets were air-conditioned. They don't care. They have so much money. They will
fire
spend
that up
it
downtown
on
Toronto. The air conditioning.
I'm walking down the street outside the big stadium for, and I'm like, why is this cool? There, because there's vents popping air conditioning into the streets.
Wild.
So they, it's an amount of money that we can't comprehend in North American society, and they will do whatever it takes. And so I think in the end, the anger will subside and the players will probably accept. Not for sure. I mean, maybe Monahan will get ousted and they'll stay angry with him. But he probably is a savvy enough businessman that he knows, you know, that money will win these guys over and that he probably has enough of it.
I'll tell you what, cash is king. But do you imagine the amount of money they would have to promise or put in to get involved in the NFL?
Well, That's the crown jewel of
right.
North American sport.
Right.
And it's specifically the United States. Like, and it's one thing to have ownership over one team, but that doesn't put you on any level. Like, that's right. you have one voice in the room. Jerry Jones is more powerful than you, right? I don't know what that would look like.
What if they can't get into the NFL or the NBA and they get into the National Hockey League?
Gary Bettman puts his hands up.
I mean, would that be shocking?
You know, a league that has been forever trying to become, get in the same conversation with those other leagues and has always struggled to do so. You know, I'm knowing Gary Bettman well enough, he'll have that conversation in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's fascinating. And the whole sport washing thing, look, I'm troubled like everybody else is by all of this. But it's all curious to me. Because, and maybe this is superficial, but, you know, the idea of sport washing is the Saudis will spend tons of money and slowly get global acceptance and influence and so on and so forth, and will normalize everything. But I don't see it that way. Like, do you look at, I still can separate them owning the, you know, having a big chunk of the PGA Tour, and what happened to Khashoggi is still an awful thing. And I think most of us are smart enough to separate all those things. So I don't know what they get out of it all.
Bad things happen in regardless of any, you know, society, all of that type of stuff. You name it. Like, it's, you're right. It doesn't, you should be able to separate it because, you know, the reporter, what happened to him, that's awful throughout the world. It's not just, you know.
Oh, but the human rights stuff and everything, it doesn't make me see them any differently because they invest heavily in sports. And so, you know, I get the same. I'm sure you guys get on when I'm covering the World Cup. You shouldn't be there. You're a victim of sport washing and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see it that way. I'm still going to cover the sports because that's my job. But I can still criticize the regime for what they do, and will continue to.
Because you have common sense, though.
That's I guess I don't know. I don't get it to an extent.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a very complex conversation about where you draw the line.
Let's go back to the rough here at Oakdale.
Yeah, the rough at Oakdale. That's pretty wild stuff.
All I could think about when you were saying that, though, James, is like, do you think they start with Ottawa? You know, what would the team that they start with?
It's Arizona. Ottawa. They bring in Ryan Reynolds. So it's Yasser and Ryan Reynolds at the news conference. Reynolds is back in.
It's got to be, like, to me, it's Arizona.
Mm-hmm. I think they'd build a rink overnight.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they'd have a rink.
Yeah, nobody would question it.
There would not be a doubt that there'd be a rink.
Yeah,
they'd be out of that university in a heartbeat.
I'm sorry if you talked about it already. How was your experience out there?
I had a great time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like, you know, playing is no one's there. No. There's pros playing. Like, no one's actually like, hey, I wonder what Hayes is doing. but I thought it was phenomenal, like always. You're inside the ropes. It's such a cool situation. We were saying, like, this is a massive plot of land, like a massive property up here at Oakdale, and the fact that the logistics just go off like no problem. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows when you're supposed to be on the tee. You get off, you go out there, you have a great time. Got to play with a lot of really, really cool people, mm-hmm. and it was just awesome. And the weather, any bad shot, I blame on the smoke.
Yeah,
right.
Like
it got in the eyes, and that's why I shanked that shot.
And Grappler jammed him up too with
the smoke. And sometimes I couldn't see through the rough with the smoke that was here.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah. That's probably nine shots to the cap.
I would say minimum a handicap of.
But
nine.
I find I do because I'm such an idiot. I do get fooled like. You know, I had a really good start, like par the first four holes, and I start to like strut like DJ. You know, I'm walking with Mac, just like I see them on TV on the weekend. We're having a casual conversation, and you feel like a pro.
I know.
And then you like completely shank to it.
You realize you actually suck, and you left your wedge back
you
on
get
13.
We all know the job you do hosting big time. When you get called on the first tee, are you nervous?
Yeah, I wasn't as bad this year. The first one I did, the 2015 Canadian Open. Was at Glen Abbey, and there must have been 1,000 people around the first tee. And I was so nervous that I couldn't get the tee in the ground because my hand was shaking. And I must have sat there for 30 seconds.
Oh, that's, and the fans noticed that, too.
Watch this guy, man. They really,
They're like, watch this.
I was better today, but I could do TV in front of 10 million people, but, you know, golf in front of 300 or something
it's
is
different, isn't it?
Because it's not your comfort zone, and I know that I'm a loser.
Right.
And that I'm going to do something awful.
Exactly.
And so you have no confidence.
Exactly. Like, my first shot of the day, this swing is so bad. It's such an awful, jabby, short, pukey swing. But I was so nervous. I was like, please don't Tom Kite this thing. Like, just get it up.
Was there potential kite victims?
Oh, there were people around.
Oh, Mac Hughes almost got hit like three times by someone in our group. There's one hole where the amateur range is right by the tee box for the pros. Like, it's a couple hundred yards back.
Right.
And there were balls coming, and Mac looked legitimately okay.
Yeah, it's
like
concerning.
He was ducking behind the signs.
It's concerning. Yeah.
But that's over today.
It's over today. And tomorrow it's go time. Do you have a feeling one way or the other how this could play out?
Well, I do have a feeling, and, you know, sometimes you get sucked in as like mid-handicap guys like ourselves is thinking how hard it is, and then you go watch these guys on the weekend and they're awesome. But, you know, even talking to Mac and Cam Champ today, like Cam said that this is the toughest rough other than the U.S. Open that they'll play on tour all year.
Wow.
Which says something.
Including Oak Hill, which they just went through, is wild.
That's what he said. And so, you know, early at the beginning of the week, a lot of people were saying, oh, it's going to be 30 under or whatever. I don't think so anymore. I'm thinking like maybe 15 or 16 or something like that. I might be completely wrong. Somebody might bang out a 61 tomorrow, but
right. That's kind of what I was picking up on too. Just the caddies speaking and different people. Like
that stretch from 3 to 6 is a legitimately anywhere on tour hard stretch.
Yes.
Of golf.
Yeah,
like really hard stretch.
Exactly.
We went 9 under on the front, which was the back. Sorry, so 10 through 18, we were 9 under. Like I said, I was strutting like DJ to the tee. We were first. The leaderboard came up. We're up first on the leaderboard, and then poor Cam Champ takes over, and we were 1 under on the back.
Wow, that's with getting strokes.
So
and everything.
8 strokes difference.
Yeah.
Between the two holes, and I honestly think with the pros it'll be 4. You know, on an average, like 4 strokes difference or something like that.
Like I think someone will shoot 29 on the back. I think that'll happen. Mm-hmm. Someone will knock out like 7 birdies. And I think there will be multiple guys in the 40s on the front, like a lot of guys who shoot 40, 41, you know. And that's probably the way it should be. You're going to balance it out. The course should be difficult. It's an open championship. Like, St. George's played that way until Sunday last year when all of a sudden Justin Rose shot a 60. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden guys started putting up 63, 64, 65. It held together really, really well. And I hope that's the case. I hope 15 under wins it. Because it just has a different vibe when it's 28 under on Sunday. You know, and you're looking at it, you're like,
it feels like the John Deere
or
something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you want it as a Canadian Open
you want to challenge it.
Somewhere in the teens or something would be nice, right?
Do you think it's a more compelling story if McIlroy wins or if a Canadian wins?
Well, if a Canadian wins, just because.
Always? Yeah.
Always, but Rory's always second.
Even given what's been going on here this week, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. More compelling story worldwide if it's Rory 100%. But for us, guys, it's 1952 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was like 1912 or something.
Yeah. Right.
And Pat Fletcher wasn't even born, I think, in Canada. So, I think if, you know, Mac or Connors or Hadwin or one of those guys, Nicky Taylor, my boy Cockrell, one of those guys would be an amazing story.
Jimmy, do you think the Cup Final, is it tough to like get the juices going about it? It's like there was so much time leading up to it, and then there's another 2 days. It's like, obviously the Vegas market's invested, Florida too, but...
And the games didn't go well either from that standpoint, right? The first 50 minutes of game one, you said, okay, we're going to have a series here,
yeah,
right? We sat at the desk and we got something, and now we're like, oh, man.
Well, last game was a disaster by the end.
I kind of feel like I want it over now, and I don't want to feel that way as a guy who loves the game.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, let's just end this thing. It's been too long, and I don't want it that way. I mean, I love it for Florida to come back and go seven, but it's got zero jam right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's too bad.
Is there any chance in your guys' mind that Florida can make this a series?
I think so, based on what they've already done this year, using the Boston experience. But it doesn't mean anything with a completely different set of circumstances.
I know, and just because you did that in round one against Boston doesn't mean there's any kind of guarantee
of course
that you magically pop up in a series.
Just saying that it did happen before. This has been a team that has persevered. I think it all comes down to one guy, and it's Bob. Yes,
yeah.
It's Bob. If Bob shows up tomorrow night and looks like the Bobrovsky we've seen for the past month, game on. If they win tomorrow night and Bob stands on his head, then they can absolutely win the series. I think if they win tomorrow and he's terrible, they're done. As weird as that sounds. Like,
right.
I think it's incumbent that he is a stud again. It's the only reason they made it this far, I'm sorry, to simplify it. Yes, they got clutch play. Yes, they played tough. It was Bobrovsky. That's why they got through Toronto in five. That's why they swept Carolina. It is. And now it's not the case anymore, and they're down 2-0.
I don't really buy usually like the long layoff thing, but Bobrovsky, because he got hot so fast, do you think the 10 days wasn't a good thing?
I think like it might be a coincidence, but it's something
case,
to look at.
You have all this stuff going for you, the entire
team. He needed 2 days off. That's it.
And then 10, and you kind of lose.
But, in watching those first two games, and – when you're on a roll, everything goes right. Puck hits the post and stays out. Puck hits the crossbar. A guy blocks a shot on the back door instead of it trickling through. Right now, he's not on his game. The other night, a goal got scored through Mahura. It went through his arm underneath the bar. Like any other series that when things were going well for them, it hits Mahura and stays out.
Right.
You know, Casey Fitzgerald gets kind of turned around, and then he tries to come back to the middle of the ice, and it goes between his legs, off the post, short side. Like, it's almost like, okay, the clock has struck midnight, and Cinderella, like that Cinderella story, like, they were getting a lot of, and when you're playing well and things are going well,
they created a lot on their own.
You get some positive bounces. Aiden Hill's getting some positive bounces. He's had a couple dragged off the goal line by his D-men where he's turned the other way and it hits him and it's going in and he helps. He pulls one off the goal line. Like Nick Cousins had two opportunities to put that in the net.
Right.
Hill stops it with a stick and then Pietrangelo jams it and gets it out of there. Like sometimes the timing of your good luck is a big part of it as well. That hasn't happened for Bobrovsky, especially after this break.
Right. Yeah, exactly. In the Cup Final, he was making so many stops that were not routine look routine.
Right.
That it became an expectation that he'll just keep doing it, and it just wasn't – it was never going to be possible. But
can you tell me when we're down to 1 minute in the segment, I have to – you know, this is the show I go on, and I confess all my things. And
okay.
I want to ask you
give
guys –
give it to us.
I did something a little greasy today, and I want you
okay,
to
what
see
do you
if
have?
It's okay.
Now we got to hear it.
I didn't – this is going to sound like a humble brag. It's not, but I did not expect like kids asking for balls from me and like to autograph balls on the golf course during the day. Like
right.
Mac Hughes,
said,
I expect.
I don't give away.
So no, the first two, I'm like no problem. You know, again, I kind of proud. I feel like a pro golfer. I'm signing the balls, but then like the second two kids. Now I'm looking back. I only got like five Pro Vs in my bag.
You're done,
right? They're brand new Pro Vs, and they're the little 6-year-old guy with his Sharpie, and so I got like this really like scuffed up, noodle or
Kirkland,
something.
Kirkland.
I had a Kirkland and a noodle at the bottom of my bag. Like, and I just signed that and gave it to
I think
the
that's
kids.
Totally acceptable.
Yes.
I think it's totally acceptable.
Range ball. You had a couple range balls.
And the dads there, and he just kind of rolls his eyes.
Dude. Yeah, we'll make sure to keep this. James Duffy's Kirkland golf ball.
So I apologize to that family. I was worried I was going to run out of balls.
And with the way the rough plays,
I was going to have to DQ myself.
Exactly.
It was like tin cup.
You'd go back and demand the kid give you the ball.
Cheech was going to say, last ball, man.
The best last golf ball story is Stevie Williams at the U.S.
Open. Unbelievable.
Where he's like, Tiger was putting in his room and he had four golf balls in there and I forgot to grab them and put them in his bag. And he gets to 18 at Pebble. He rips one in the water, and there's only one left.
And he doesn't tell him.
No, he just says, here, pal, here's the last one. And he's like, oh, my God. He rips it down the fairway and wins by a zillion.
Let me ask you guys one quick question. Mm-hmm. Kirkland balls.
Yeah.
I think are they any good?
I think they're good.
Because keep in mind, those Costco brands, they're on par.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, Costco doesn't mess around.
My understanding is Costco, like vodka, it says Kirkland or whatever. It's like Grey Goose in the Kirkland bottle.
Yeah, down in the States. I don't know if they sell it up here.
Point being is, are those Kirkland balls any good? They could be like
I think they're pretty good.
Nike balls. I'm so cheap and pathetic that at my club I have this thing called Kirkland Time. So I'll start with my TaylorMade golfs, my TaylorMade balls, my TP5s.
Yeah.
And when I lose like my third TP5, like around 12. It's Kirkland time.
Because
I'm not going to go to a second sleeve.
That's greasy.
I like that play, though. I like that play. It's frugal, is what it is.
I should be doing ads.
It's smart play.
It's Kirkland time.
You're a legitimate player and a good player, though. Like, if you play with someone that doesn't play often and there's like a par three over water, they go back to the bag and get a brutal ball.
Oh, it's a great commercial. 220 over water, you just hand the guy a Kirk.
Yeah,
just say, put
there you
that.
Go. Hit that thing into the water.
Bobby Mack's the best. He's got like three balls in his pocket, and no one gets back down on the tee. Like, he's the world record holder. Tees off, ball's gone. Another ball's back on the tee.
He reloads immediately.
The quickest reloader in the West. So
listen, that is a talent, though. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's a talent. All right, JD, great stuff, buddy. Thanks for popping in, and you'll be here all week, I guess, right?
Yeah, we'll see you guys all week long.
Yeah, we're going to be here the rest of the week.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Thank you, guys.
There he is, James Duffy, joining us here at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, RBC Canadian Open. Tips off tomorrow morning. Confirm or deny, still to come this hour. Again, we're live at Oakdale. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is, in fact, a signal.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right.
Sorry. I forgot. I'm not. I should have pressed the mute button.
Yeah, just a loud can opening sign just as we're about to fire up. Confirm or deny.
It's not a beer.
No, I understand. It's all good.
I love
confirm or deny.
Zevia.
Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2023 IS300 all-wheel drive F Sports Series 1 from just $298 biweekly for 24 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. For all of the details, all right? Confirm or deny. We know the way this works. The statements are made. We go around the table. We confirm them or we deny them. Very simple stuff.
Yep.
Confirm or deny. Alek Manoah will return to form at some point this season.
You know what? I'm going to deny it because it's so easy to be in love with what he represents, with his status on the team, what he did last year, and to throw out the standard comment, which is, he's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I just find the road back to where he needs to get to is so big and so long. And this sounds awful and it's pessimistic, but I'm just going to deny it as opposed to saying, I have full belief that he's going to get this thing back on the track. Mm-hmm. Because that's it's kind of the easy answer, just to say, he'll be fine. Don't worry about anything.
Right.
There's a lot to worry about, man.
There is. And saying that without putting more thought into it is not paying attention, because that's basing it on what you were thinking would happen.
Right.
But that hasn't been the case here. There's a reason he's in the Florida Complex League. They're not even sending him to AAA. If this was just an issue that they think they can get over, they'd phantom IL him, say you're out for a few weeks, stick around town, and then we'll see it when we hit the road again.
Right.
This is disappear. No one finds you. No one sees you. No one knows what you're doing. and we'll dictate how you're going to get back up here. It's a completely different level of protection, right. But also I think it points to the concern. The case for confirming it would be that it's still the beginning of June. That's the case for confirm. Even right. if this guy
what
leaves for 2 months.
What does the season have to do with it?
Well, but the point being is if this was blown up in August and he went down, you're like, you got a month left. You're probably not coming back.
Right.
Let's say he goes down there for a month, then shows up in maybe AA, then AAA by the end of July. There's a chance by August you still have 55, 60 games left and you feel like he can get back in the rotation. Right? But I'm not going there either. I'm denying it as well because I just think this is nuclear what is happening here. The fact that they're sending him to Dunedin and it's this bad, I'm not saying he won't return, but the question is return to form.
Right.
Form suggests a high-end arm in the rotation. I don't think it's going to happen in 23.
I think we all want him to, but I'm going to deny it. So they've played 62 games. So you got 100 games.
Left.
But you just mentioned, if he goes down for a month and then works back to single A, triple A, however it works as far as the step ladder for him to get back. Let's say that's 2 months. Now all of a sudden you're chewing off 55, 60 games.
A lot of games.
With breaks.
Yep.
That only puts you 40-some left. And how many starts in that? I don't think you'd have enough sample size. That's 6, 7, 8 starts.
Right.
I don't know. I'm denying
it. The month is like the baseline. Don't even about
that's what it
think
sounds
about
like.
Seeing him in a month.
It sounds as if he's down. He's out of sight, out of mind for about a month.
Okay, so let's say that's potentially 28 games, maybe give or take 30
right.
games. We'll call it a little bit more in the month.
But even again, if he comes up,
you got to get to that level.
Then you got to accelerate. That's the different thing. I'm not saying that it will never happen again in his career, but if everything goes well, he gets back up at some point, maybe late July or whatever, and they give him a chance to just try to find some footing in the rotation.
Right.
But finding his form where he's, a low
where
3
he's the
ERA
guy.
Stud,
he got the ball.
Talking smack. That just seems that seems so far away.
Yeah.
So far away. And it's subject to change. Maybe it's different in a month, but right now it's difficult to see it play out that way.
So what are you doing, confirming or denying?
I denied.
He denied. We all denied.
Yeah, I'm going to deny. All right? Confirm or deny. Brad Treliving, the new GM of the Leafs, has already made his decision on the future of Sheldon Keefe in Toronto.
Has already made his decision.
Yes, which includes both options. He's staying or, he's going to let him go in the next, few days or a week or whatever.
I am going to confirm that whatever he has decided, that's already been made up in his mind. He's a smart guy. You can sit down and talk to them. You can have phone conversations. But the ideas you have are basically what's going to lead you to make the call, isn't it? If you have in your head, I got to make a coaching change here if I'm going to come in there, that was decided a long time ago. So I'm 100% confirming that he already knows.
I'm denying it because I think he has time. People say it's disrespectful to Sheldon Keefe. He's getting paid. He's got another year on his deal.
But, Jamie, if you have time and you're thinking about something else, doesn't that mean you don't want the guy to begin with?
Potentially, but also you're shopping the market saying, who's out there, who could potentially be out there, and you just, I keep saying this, the guy just got the job last week. You gotta go and spend time with these people and understand, Brad Treliving probably, he's not going to have one meeting with Sheldon Keefe for 2 hours and go, yeah, you're in or you're out. You've got to dig around, and this is why I think it's going to be a feeling out process and it's going to take time to sort it out. And again, there might be a coach out there that he covets that's either not available or, that he's got to sort out. So I'm denying it because I come back to, I think Treliving has the luxury of time to sort this out over the off season. Now you need a coach in place for September, but I think his focus is probably more on getting Matthew sorted out, seeing where William Nylander's out at, but also developing a relationship with Sheldon Keefe. You're not just letting him go for the sake of, hey, I got to let him go. I think it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, and he's got to catch up, and you should expect that. The Leafs should expect that, right? He's got to figure out what's been going on with the staff. They've lost some, an assistant here.
Carberry, yep.
So there's a number of different, balls in the air. But I'll confirm it because I think the one guy who's going to have maybe the ultimate voice on this is not Brad Tree Living. I think it's Brendan Shanahan. And I think Shanahan, if he wants him to stay, Sheldon Keefe's going to stay. And yeah. I think Tree Living's going to have to work with that and operate with that. And that's just the chain of command. I mean, that's the way it works. And by all accounts, you know, seems like Shanahan's somewhat high on Sheldon. You know, Shanahan has possibly said what he's possibly said to the core four players. So, in a way, you know, Tree Living may be handcuffed in some capacities. And it very well could be the case here with the coach. And that doesn't mean Tree Living doesn't agree.
Right.
He very well could agree. And he may have gone into the room saying, you know, what I've seen from afar, I like this guy. And if Shanahan said, I do too, then I think it's over. Like, I think he's going to stick around. And the question is, do they give him an extension? Do they make him feel good about the situation? I don't know why they would do that with Sheldon Keefe if they didn't do it with Kyle Dubas.
Right.
Like, why does it all of a sudden a lame duck situation you can't work with? You just went through it with Dubas. Now, maybe they'll learn from that experience. But is something going to happen between now and the end of next year where Sheldon Keefe is, you know, you can't keep him if you don't want to keep him?
No, I
find that hard to believe.
It's all sometimes managers come in and you want to use, I think in this scenario, he probably has two bullets. One right away.
Well, that's another thing.
And then a second one after if something doesn't go well with your hire.
Right.
Right? But he might have the luxury of two because you can go, I'm going to see how this sorts out till Christmas. I'm going to put this team together, let this guy coach it, bring in another. It might be an associate coach you bring in, not an assistant coach, an associate coach that you like. It's your guy. And they coach together.
I think Sheldon. You look at his regular seasons, like, it's awfully successful. I just didn't like the walking back the comments and always trying to find a different way to phrase things. I don't know. And it also depends, because we've had private conversations off the air when the lights go off, Hayes, about, well, if that guy's available, how do you not go after him? You know what I mean? Like if a top-end coach, and we're not talking about one in particular, but if there's somebody out there where you're like, man, that guy could really get them over the hump or possibly, you almost have to look at
That's always what should have been the case.
Yeah.
Like, if there's one thing you take out of Vegas, at times it got silly. At times it became like a video game GM mode where it's just, you're out, we're signing that. But what was behind that philosophy was, there's a better option, so we're doing it.
That's what I've hated about these long-term contracts as soon as they started coming in. Oh, yeah, the organization's like, we got to get this guy locked up for 7 or 8 years. I'm like, that's great and everything. If you want to get that number to at a point where you want to look at it and that's the number you like. But if you don't win, what's the sense of keeping a group of guys together for 7 and 8 years?
And here's the thing with Keefe and what you just said, and it applies to the other core players of this team, core 4, 5, 6, I don't care who it is.
Right.
Individually, you can look at all of them and say, I like that guy.
Right.
Right? Like, I like what this guy did. But then at the end, you look collectively at the results and you say, well, that didn't work again.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point. Like, if it's Keefe and the four forwards and Riley, individually, I could sit here and rave all day about them and what they do well and how they represent the team and the city. There's no controversies or anything like that. It's nothing personal. It's just when you take a step back into the macro, you say, they haven't won anything.
Right.
That's that group.
Like, you're just going to come back again? Yeah. Like, I think they're really risking. We say this every year, blowback. It's not like people are going to start selling tickets off or not showing up or real protesting. Like, that's not how we operate in this city. But if it's Keefe, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares opening night, some fans are going to absolutely freak out.
Well,
and again, it's not that they don't like them individually.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just, what are we doing here? Again, that'll be the collective response.
Unless it's them and they found a way to go, okay, we added a rock star defenseman or added a rock star goalie.
Without subtracting any of them?
That's
that seems very difficult to do.
You're right.
Very
but you know what? The
do.
Other thing, too, before we move on, is the decision might be made for Brad Tree Living if he goes to William Nylander and says, I'd like to extend you, and he goes, yeah, sure, 8 years at 10.
Right.
And he goes, I can't make that work. Then we have to figure something out.
Yes. You just look at the two examples. We've talked about it at nauseum. The Florida Panthers didn't say, well, we won the President's Trophy, so that's going to carry us along. We're not changing that. They made a change.
Yeah.
Vegas had quality teams, and they said, we're going to change the dynamic because there's another guy out there,
a
different guy, who we think can make us better.
Right.
They just didn't say, we're a great team. We're going to just roll it back. And I understand there are two examples, and it worked for them. They got to the finals. There's a roll of the dice every decision you make. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. There's a bunch of teams that made changes that didn't work for them.
Well, yes, you might get it wrong, too, and I understand that. But there's also been...
What about getting it wrong with the same thing every time?
Well, but that's the
point. That's worse.
I've heard Brad Treliven come out and say, said it on our show. I'm not going to make, say, you know, making change for the sake of change. It's not change for the sake of change. It's change because you can't win.
Right.
Like, there is a sake.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there is, it's something I can literally point to and say, yeah, but Brad, you know, right. Brendan, you literally don't win.
Right.
So. It's not change for the sake of change. It's not just appeasing the masses and the mob.
It's change to get a different result.
Well, it's change where if you used a different organization in a different city, we'd all say, oh, I understand that.
You know what? You know what is stuck in my head? When we had Tim Leiwicki on the other day, like obviously he should be, you know, a public speaker. He's so well-spoken. He's such a got amazing energy. But I loved his comment where he said, like, don't be afraid to be bold, like to be – you know, to go out there and make mistakes and make a statement. And I think in Florida they identified behind the scenes maybe a comfort, a casualness to that
sure.
group where they were like, we need to change that because it's not working and we're going to be drastic. In Vegas, it's just like whoever's best available, come on in. Like, so it's different philosophy.
Sure.
Here, if Brad Treliving identifies that this is a country club, this is everyone's too comfortable here, maybe there is something behind the scenes that we're not privy to, then he will make change.
Sure. Yeah, no, I believe that he will do that. I don't have any questions on that front. Confirm or deny, the cup final will finish in five or less games.
I'm going to confirm that. I think the Vegas Golden Knights... And a lot of times you see it, one team's just got more in the tank and they're just better and you run into a buzzsaw. And Bobrovsky, the best point is Bobrovsky hasn't been on track. And it's no discredit to the team, but you realize what he did in those other series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was out of his mind.
Yeah.
He was out of his mind and he couldn't stay that way through that break. And it was costly.
Yep.
And it's a shame.
It is. And I'm going to confirm it as well. I think there's a split. I don't think there'll be a sweep. I think Florida gets one at home. I don't know what that crowd's going to look like. It's a cup final. You're in Miami. You're competing with the Heat. You're down
2-0. I just got Vegas the way they played in Dallas. That what was it?
Game six.
They
very impressive.
Steamrolled them.
Yes.
And if they bring anything like that,
I think they win back in Vegas game five.
I'm denying it, but I think it's more wishful thinking. That's really what it is. And I've been wrong about every prediction. And so I'm being consistent with it, but I'm going to deny it. Maybe I'm just wishing that it goes 6 or 7.
Confirm or deny, Mike Babcock will lead the Blue Jackets to the playoffs within 3 years.
I 100% confirm that. It wouldn't shock me if they made the playoffs next year. Would not.
Well,
really?
Lunch.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure doing business.
That's B-R-Y-A-N, H-A-Y-E-S. Do you e-transfer? How do you check? You think Columbus is going to the playoffs next year because Mike Babcock is the coach?
There's pain coming in Columbus.
You don't think there's pain coming?
Here's one thing that I would say about...
You watch yourself next year at the Canadian Open. You'll offer me an apology right on that T-block.
All right, fine. Well, if there's a gentleman with a skullet out there, I'm going to find him.
Well, we might be in luck right now.
Yeah, exactly. Here's why I say there is an outside chance of that health. Because you're going to get Werenski back. You just saw they got Provorov. If you can get a healthy Elvis Merliskins, so now you got a goalie and you got two good D. Then you get Laine, Goudreau, Roslovic. Like, you actually might have
this guy thinks he's so smart and they're so terrible. I'm telling you, they're going to make the playoffs next year.
I'm just saying,
you think they're making the playoffs next year? Who's coming out in the East?
Dude, I don't care. I'm telling you.
You've got Columbus in. Who's coming out?
I got to pick one out?
Well,
no, you don't have to pick one out.
Give me a reason to believe. Just Mike Babcock.
I'm going to generalize it. Somebody might take a step back.
Okay. I'll grant you that.
Well, I
don't dispute that someone's taking a step back, but I don't think they're better than Ottawa next year.
Oh, no. I think Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo has a better chance to make the playoffs. I'm just saying Columbus is certainly going to be better with health. I don't know what that means. I wouldn't have taken that. I wouldn't have bet you $500.
I think they're still dead last in their division next year. Who are they going to – you think they'll be better than Pitt?
Dude, just leave it, let it lie, and we'll discuss it next year with the Skullet and the T-Block. The Triple Pony, the Skullet, and we'll discuss it on the T-Block.
Yeah. Yes, we will, and I can't wait for that. All right, confirm or deny, Rory McIlroy will finish top three this week. Are we loud? Are we projecting?
Dude, we're going to get in trouble tomorrow because there's going to be guys with $2 million on the line trying to hit a shot,
yeah.
And we're laughing at Skullet.
We're going to be talking about Skullet.
I don't think Rory finishes top three. I think he's got too much cooking right now. I think he's got the U.S. Open cooking in his head. I don't know. I just don't see it. What?
Nothing. That's a very good point. Noodles, confirm it tonight. Rory McIlroy, top three.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
You're confirming that?
I want him here, 100%. Okay. And I think, you know what, distractions aside,
He's
the guy.
There were distractions last year and he won the tournament. That's why I'm going to confirm it as well. I loved his game last week.
Right.
Like, he was in it. It fell off at the Memorial on Sunday. It didn't go great for him. But he loves playing up here. He's going to have the loudest applause. Everyone's going to be following him. He's going to be a rock star out here, and I don't think he gets easily distracted. I mean, guys at that level, they don't get distracted because Jay Monahan jammed them up or whatever. He'll be the clear-cut favorite to win this thing. But
all right,
three,
I'll confirm it, too.
I mean, top three is, listen, he could be 7th or 8th or 10th or 12th, 15th.
Yeah,
I mean, that'd still be a great run.
I think he's a top three for me.
Last one, confirm it tonight. Canadian golfer will be in one of the final two pairings on Sunday.
I'm gonna 100% confirm that. I think we see it every week. They almost did it last year, but they tailed off on the weekend. I think either Mack Hughes, Corey Connors, who's my other guy?
Nick Svensson.
Yep. Nick Taylor. One of those guys are going to be in the final group.
Give me a Mack Hughes. I'm confirming it.
Yeah, I'm going to confirm it as well. I think Taylor Pendrith is obviously a guy. My man Gligich, he's a stud, an absolute stud. And I think there's just so many Canadians that are high-quality players. You know, they love this tournament. They'll show up. I expect one Canadian flag, at least one, in the final two pairings. All right?
All right.
There you go. Confirm or deny. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Right now, lease the 2023 IS300 all-wheel drive F Sports Series 1. From just $298 biweekly for 24 months. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all of the details. All right, we're live at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, the RBC Canadian Open. Overdrive continues. We'll be back right after this. All right, so game three of the NBA Finals tonight, and we're seeing news that the Phoenix Suns are waiving Chris Paul. So he's out. He'll be a free agent. And I think if you're in Toronto, you're wondering, okay, how does this affect the Raptors? Not that Chris Paul's coming up here. But you got a vacancy at the guard position, and Fred VanVleet is about to be a free agent himself. And Fred is going to trend on Twitter every day for the next month.
Right.
Like, he's already trending. Immediately something happens, right? Nick Nurse goes to Philly, Fred VanVleet trending. James Harden may leave Philly, Fred's trending. Chris Paul's out, Fred's trending. Like, everything is about what is going to happen with Fred VanVleet. And what's amazing is the Raptors still haven't hired a coach.
Does Paul have any game left, though?
Not to be like a core piece.
Right.
No. He's
Dude,
at the
he's
end of his
an
career.
Older guy, and he's got heavy, heavy miles.
Yeah. He's a depth piece that is not going to play. He's going to give you 50 games, and hopefully he's healthy in the playoffs. And,
I was watching that guy play at Wake Forest when I played in Carolina.
That's right. Yeah, he's listen, he's had a Hall of Fame career. He's a great, great player. Great, great player. But it's the end of the road for him. He'll still, I would assume, keep playing, and he'll pop up, and he'll play the role of Kyle Lowry somewhere as a depth veteran leader type
he's
guard.
He's super tight with LeBron.
Yes.
Kevin Love's still playing.
Kevin Love
Hanging
is still playing.
Yeah.
Kevin Love is bringing a lot to the table right now.
I know.
So take that for what it's worth. But, yeah, Fred VanVleet, I don't know. Like, I don't think he's going to have a future here, but the idea of him, unless it's a sign and trade, the idea of him just walking and them not flipping him at the deadline,
right?
That's one that I think Masai is going to have to explain if it gets to that point. If VanVleet just walks,
Yeah, that's an asset.
You knew you weren't going anywhere. You were going to get something for Fred, probably a decent amount at the deadline. They decided to keep him. They kept all their guys. And that's going to be a big question over the next month, is who are they going to hire as a coach? Who they hire? What is that going to say about the direction they want to take the team? What happens with Van Vliet, Siakam, et cetera? Like,
right.
There's going to be moving pieces up here in Toronto. You can bank on it.
They better have some kind of coach in the chamber here where it's like, okay, that's worth the wait.
Well, now they're the only team looking for someone. So
no
you might
kidding.
As well take time now, I guess.
Yeah.
You're not competing with anybody anymore. You know, and I think that probably speaks to who they've been interviewing, is that whoever it's going to be was not on the radar.
Right.
In
right.
Detroit, in Houston, in Philly, in Phoenix, in Milwaukee. You know, the Raptors are an outlier, and that's kind of been their history. They've gone with coaches who don't have a lot of NBA experience.
Right.
You know, like
right.
Well, Nick Nurse, Dwayne Casey was an assistant, Sam Mitchell wasn't a head coach anymore. Like the last three coaches, that's what it's been.
Be an up-and-comer then.
More than likely. Yeah. Final hour coming up. Mark Zucchino will join us around the table. Darren Dreger will join us on a lot of news in the NHL. And the Jays are back in action. We'll tee up the game tonight with Houston in town. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 soon to be up on TSN 2.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/TSN Plus to learn more.